Good morning. Well, let's climb into this. We start a new series. We're into the kind of the fall run. We begin a series called The Laws of the Universe. And I want to begin with I'll explain kind of what we mean by that as we go along. But I want to begin with a story. And it's always tricky telling stories because you're always worried how, you know, it involves sometimes friends and family, and so I want to kind of protect identities and whatnot, but I've chatted with them already about this, so it's all good. Listen, a couple years ago, we were at a big gathering, and an extended family member pulled Kathy aside, Kathy and I both, to share some concern that she had for a mutual friend of ours. And she just said, I'm really worried about this guy. And it caught me by surprise. I didn't know what was going on. It actually started when I asked where he was. And I just said, hey, is there a reason he didn't? And so she didn't say anything. She said, oh, no, he couldn't come. And then later she pulled us aside and said, I'm really worried about this guy. And I said, really? Like, what's the matter? Well, he's really sick. And I said, like, sick? Like cold? No, it's more serious. He's been missing a lot of work. I said, really? He's missing work? Like for a lot of work. I said, wow, that's too bad. She said, I think he's been diagnosed with something. And something with his lungs, and he's coughing and we think it might be connected to the fact that he smokes a lot. And I said, oh, man, that's too bad. But I could tell it wasn't just I'm concerned about him. It's like she started saying, I think we need to do something. And I'm kind of looking at her going, what are you suggesting we do? Did he ask for help? She said, well, no, that's just it. He's not asking for help, but he's, really gone reclusive. He's not coming out to any of these things. We think he's, like, drinking a lot. And I'm just like, oh, well, how much is a lot? Like, we all have our moments, you know? And she's like, no, I think there's a serious problem here. And so I'm just getting really nervous about the idea of, like, I said, what are you suggesting we do even? She says, well, I think we need to maybe just get a hold of him and maybe go over there. And I said, he never has people over. That would be weird. I just said, I don't think this is a good idea. And at that point, I kind of pushed back and said, look, if he isn't asking for help, I don't think it's a good thing. Kathy stayed and they talked for a little bit longer. Well, that night I went to play hockey and Kathy called him. And I didn't find out until later. But I was not happy with it. I'll continue that story in a little bit. Have you ever been in a place where you're just like going, oh, you see something? And it might not even be all that serious. Just a person's not acting the way they normally do. They look different. Or maybe it is serious. Maybe what you're witnessing is something that you think is maybe it's somewhat destructive behavior to themselves. Maybe it's the way that they're treating someone in their family or someone around them. You're just watching and you're just like, oh, that isn't good. Maybe it's a marriage thing, a relationship thing, and words are said and you're just like, and you kind of look down, pretend you didn't hear anything, walk in the room, walk away. What did you do? What do you do? You say something or? I don't know about you, but there are times when I witness things that I know aren't really good or healthy, but in my mind, I have this verse that rolls up in my head. Don't judge, or you too will be judged. Anyone else kind of allow that kind of, hey, don't judge, who am I to judge, kind of statement kind of roll through, and it just tempers any kind of action or behavior that you take? It was Jesus that said these words. He said, don't judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you'll be judged. And the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And then he goes on. He said, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye? Pay no attention to the plank that's in your own. How can you say to your brother, hey, let me take that little speck out of your eye when you got this plank hanging out of your own? You hypocrite. Take the plank out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly enough to remove the speck out of your brother's. It seems he kind of wraps up this little mini teaching by saying, don't give dogs what is sacred. Don't throw your pearls to pigs. In my experience with most people I talk with, when different tricky, challenging, sticky, awkward situations kind of float to the surface of our conversation, most people will say, I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be that guy that's kind of meddling, sticking my nose where it doesn't belong over there. When I know I got my stuff. Now, I think many of us are allergic to being judgmental for a couple reasons. Let me take a stab at this. I think there are some who, knowing this verse or have used it or heard it used on them, whatever, when they hear this verse, don't judge or you too will be judged, they hear it like, if you judge, God will judge you. And you don't want that, my friends. Oh, you think you got something on that person, you're going to talk to them, you're going to straighten them out, or you see something that they can't, you're going to speak up, that's fine. But one day, your record's going to get pulled out. Your rap sheet is going to get rolled up, and it's going to be God that's going to be weighing in. And do you want that? I don't think you do, friend. I think some people, when they hear this verse, that's what's rolling through their head. For some other people, that's not what they hear. They hear something else. When they read it, they see, do not judge or you too will be judged by everyone, right? We see, if we step in and we weigh in, everyone's going to look at that and go, who are you to be saying anything right now? It's a Jimmy Swagger principle. I don't know if anyone ever knew Jimmy, but he was this old televangelist. You'd watch him on Sunday mornings and he would get up there and he would wag his finger and he would start pointing to people and all their problems, all their stuff. And he'd say, you need to get right with God, my friend. You're wrong. You got to deal with it. You got sin in your life. You got to deal with it. And he would name out all kinds of things he thought was wrong, right down to the music I was listening to. One day, Jimmy gets caught engaging the services of a hooker. And that thing hits the news. And I'm telling you, the world celebrated. It was like, down you go, Jimmy. Have a little of your own medicine. This is a Jimmy Swagger principle. It says, no, I'm not speaking up because who am I? Who am I to say something about that, right? Otherwise, people are going to judge me. The world will judge me. I don't want to be a part of that. But what does it actually mean to judge? This passage, the word judge shows up twice. Don't judge or you'll be judged. That word in the Greek is a word called krino. I'd love to say that it has one straightforward meaning, but the truth is it could be interpreted about five different ways. Its semantic range is wide. I'll only name three that I thought were somewhat interesting. You can judge simply by making a preference. You walk into Village Ice Cream, if it was a warm day, we might be tempted right after church. You walk in there and say, I'm going to have the salted caramel and not the Earl Grey, whatever. You've just made a judgment. Is that what this is talking about? Don't judge. Don't make that judgment, or someone else is going to make it for you. I don't know. Like, that's one way of looking at this. Another way, another form of judgment is when you see someone, you make a judgment on them. Man, that guy's weird. Or did you see the way that she dressed? You make a judgment on someone, but you don't hold it in your head. Your outside voice starts talking. And you actually then try to influence that person. This is another form of judgment. You actually say, geez, why did you wear that tonight? Or, you know what? You were wrong for having said that. This is another form of judgment. You actually try to influence a person. You can do it by criticizing them, being sarcastic. You can influence them by just sharing your opinion. I think that was wrong what you did. This is another form of judgment. There is one more type of judgment, and this happens when two parties do something, perhaps one violates the other, whatever, and there's a disagreement. That situation and these two parties are brought before someone maybe smarter, someone that's unbiased, impartial, and the person hears out the story from two different perspectives, perhaps even involving a judge, a jury. And they listen to it, and then they deem who is right and who is wrong. And they hold those who are wrong accountable for their actions some way. It's another form of judgment. So the question is, when you read this, which one of these definitions seems to apply in this scenario? And before you answer that question, is it using only one definition with both words, with the word judge used twice? Did you know that in the Bible, oftentimes when a word is used more than once in a sentence, it's often there's a play going on. It's using it in two different ways, often. So it could mean that this judge is used the first time in one way and in a different way the second time. Now, in my experience, the second definition I gave you is probably the most common interpretation that I watch being used. It's simply saying, look, don't pass judgment and seek to influence the lives and actions of other people, and they won't seek to influence you and what you do. Basically, it says, stay out of that person's business and they'll stay out of yours. Let's just do that. Mind your own business. Now, I don't know about you, but I can think of many times I think of that interpretation as being a pretty credible interpretation. I go, I wish people followed that a little bit more. And I think the world around that looks in at religion would have that translation, that interpretation used most times. Because religion has more often than not tried to stick its nose where it doesn't belong, weigh in what people's or what's right and what's wrong, blah, blah, blah. But if everyone followed this strictly, according to this interpretation, you stay out of my business and I'll stay out of yours. If we all followed that very strictly, I can't help but wonder what kind of world that would create. No matter how much trouble someone was in, no matter how much someone was being hurt by perhaps someone else, everyone was to only worry about their own business. Don't get involved. Turn a blind eye. Look away. It's not your problem. Is that really the world we want? Is that really the picture Jesus was talking about when he said this? I had a friend a number of years ago who, in a moment of honesty, he said something pretty harsh to me. He said, you're a brutal friend, Jeff. That's what he told me. At least that's what it sounded like. We were golfing and And we were close friends. And I think he had invited me to be a part of something, and I just said, no, I can't. I got commitments. And it was probably one of a number of times that I had said no to some invitation. I'm guessing that's kind of where it all came from. All I remember is him kind of going, you're brutal. You're a brutal friend, and one day your friends are going to move on, and you're going to be sorry. And I was just like, what are you talking about? He says, it seems like you have time for so many other people, people you barely know. And these people who have been with you, who you've known for years, they invite you, they want you to be a part of this or that. And it's like, man, we are at the bottom of your list. I just remember, he caught me so off guard. I didn't really know. And then all of a sudden I was like, hey, wait a second. No, you know what? And I think I rattled off about not wanting to be some exclusive clique, and we got to make room for other people. And of course I'm a pastor. There's new people coming in, and what? Are we just going to be a little circle of people over here and they can just find? No, we got to include them. We got to make room for more people. So I went off, eh? So I was like giving it to him. That stung. And I was not convinced that what he said was true. It is only in hindsight that I look back. And what he began to uncover for me was a realization of an incredible people-pleasing tendency that I got going on in my life. That has chronically over my lifetime affected the level of friendship that I engage in my life. Perhaps that's why I don't like this one definition that says, mind your own business and people will mind theirs. Just don't get involved in other people's worlds. You stay involved in your own. Because I have been in a position in my own life where I've needed someone to look into it and say, pal, I don't think you're seeing this. But I think you need to. I've been that person. I call it a blind spot. I think I've got these blind spots that I, as much as I try to kind of figure out what my problem is and self-diagnose and fix it so that no one else can see it or bother needing to weigh in, I can't see them. And the benefit has been for me more often when I look back, when someone has said, hey, buddy, I'm guessing we all have one of those blind spots, at least one. In my humble opinion, I don't think Jesus intended when he said, don't judge and people will avoid judging you. I don't think he was intending to tell people you are never to be involved in other people's business. I don't think that at all. Do not judge and you will not be judged. I think there is another way of looking at this thing. I've been toying with it the last little while, and I think there's something to this. I'm going to read this a different way, and then I'm going to explain and hopefully it'll make sense. What if really he was saying, don't pass judgment. So that one definition I said was really popular. Don't try to pass judgment. Try to influence other people's lives and actions unless you're prepared one day to stand before a judge or to stand before that person and be held accountable for the way that your action or your inaction influenced them. Don't pass judgment and try to influence someone's life and actions unless you're prepared to stand before a judge or before them one day, be held accountable for the way that your action or inaction influenced their behavior. What if Jesus was really saying, oh, you can judge, but you better realize that with judging comes some serious responsibility and accountability. You better be prepared to look that person in the eye now or later and answer for why you said something or did something to influence what they were doing. This interpretation makes way more sense to me. Especially when I play that out to the extreme. When I take it to the end and imagine if everyone followed this as a law of the universe. If everyone played this out. It wouldn't mean that we would turn the blind eye. It wouldn't mean that we would say, you know what, that's not our problem. But in those certain occasions when we're looking at something that we're just going, oh, something doesn't seem right. We would almost feel an obligation to be able to speak up, knowing that as we speak up, everything that we might say or do that will influence them, we better be ready to speak for an answer to. You know, not long ago, ABC ran a show called What Would You Do? I don't know if you ever saw that. I love that show. It was interesting. Using hidden cameras and actors, they'd build these dilemmas, sometimes in the most unusual places. Sometimes it'd be in a restaurant. Sometimes it'd be in a storefront on the street, in a bar. They would create these dilemmas. Sometimes acts of prejudice. Actors would start saying things to a waiter or a waitress. They'd maybe steal money off a table. They would talk down to someone. They'd maybe use racist language. All kinds of different things. And the whole focus was on what normal, unsuspecting people would do in these environments. What are you going to do? It was fascinating as I'd watch this and the things that would be playing out. Someone that would be using such abusive language to their spouse. And a person is just sitting there just going, oh, oh. And the number of times it was so disturbing. Someone steals them and people just look away. Not wanting to get involved, not my problem. I think, wow. Like, imagine this played out in our society where there's winners and there's losers. There's people that are powering up and there's people that are having to take it. And everyone that's watching it or observing it or around it, whether it's in their families or their neighbors or whatever, are just going, nothing happening here, moving along. Oof. I get the sickness as I'd watch that going on. But then every now and then in the show, sometimes the most unsuspecting, little old lady in line, looks up at this guy who's giving it to this waitress. You can't talk to her that way. She would say, no, you can't. And you'd say, excuse me? No, you can't. All of a sudden, just even her action would embolden the people around him. And then someone else would speak up and say, no, that was offside. This whole I'd watch this play out and I'd go, oh, there we go. It was like I could picture that being played out in the world. And I'd go, oh, now that seems to create a different picture in our world, doesn't it? We see this playing out in our society more and more. Like even making its way right into our laws. Bar owners now are being held accountable. Someone comes in and they start drinking too much, even if they're saying, pour me another one, whatever. And that person walks out, jumps into a car and drives and gets in an accident. They're tracing it back to the bar that sold them too much alcohol, saying you are accountable, partially accountable for what just went down here. Society is looking at this and saying it's not okay for everyone to just turn a blind eye and say nothing or do nothing when you find those scenarios. Someone's health or well-being is in jeopardy. Now, for those that know me, know if there is anything I despise more, it is judgmental people. That is the last thing I ever want to be called. That is one of them. Way up there. And as a result, and maybe it's part of my people pleaser nature, I do not want to be that guy that's sticking my nose in someone else where it doesn't belong. So even me doing this message this week, I was like, I just don't want to give license. I don't want to encourage people to get involved in places they don't. But I'm telling you, more now than ever, I believe that there are going to be times when you and I need to step up and say something, do something that could stop someone from falling off a cliff, from hurting themselves or hurting someone else. I'm realizing I need to be willing to do this, because one day, if my interpretation that I'm playing with holds true, one day I think I am going to be looking that person in the eye. Or maybe their parents. Or maybe their kids. And I'm going to need to answer for what I did or what I didn't do. What I said or what I didn't say. I also realize that I need to be careful for when and how I weigh in. And those times when I get involved and I do something or say something, it would be perceived as me meddling in what they are doing or saying, trying to influence them. I need to be very, very careful, because there's also a chance that my judgmental influence may be off. And I end up influencing them in a way that I shouldn't have. And I too will have to be held accountable for that. Now just think about this, just for a second, the ramifications of this law of the universe. For us parents and grandparents, siblings, how often do we judge the behavior, the style preferences, the career choices, the parenting styles, the friend and spouse selection process of those we love? How many times do we get caught trying to control, manipulate, influence kids, shape decisions that really aren't about their safety or their protection or the protection of others? Really, what we're doing is we're meddling in a way that's just making us happy. Here's the temper to all of this. How many times as partners do we make judgments and try to influence our partner's behavior? It has nothing to do with their well-being. It has everything to do with what we want them to be and do. This creates all kinds of sadness. Creates all kinds of harm. Perhaps this is what Jesus was getting at when he said, why do you look at the speck in the eye of your brother when you got a plank in your own? He's going, be very careful that you don't start weighing in on another situation when it's your own baggage you're dealing with. How many times we're bothered by things that are going on in someone else's, and so we speak up. And really, it's not about being bothered by it. It's something that's in us. We're projecting onto them. Sometimes we use judgment because, man, it feels so nice. If we're not feeling so good about ourselves, it feels so nice to just point out something in that guy or in her. And by doing that, you know what? I just feel a little bit better. One more consideration to this law of the universe. You just need to be aware of. Jesus said, don't give dogs what is sacred. Don't throw your pearls to pigs. Sometimes you'll do the right thing. You'll weigh carefully your words and your intentions and your motives behind it all. And you'll know you're supposed to do something. And you'll muster up the courage to bring it up. And you'll speak. And the reaction that you hear from the other person will not be, oh, thank you. Thank you for saying that and saving me from this trouble. No, they'll look at you and say, how dare you? they'll give you the Jeff Jarvis treatment that I gave my friend out on the golf course a number of years back. Saying, you know what, pal? I think you better mind your own business here. Because I think we all do this our own way. They might just turn and take that act that required everything you had inside you to say anything. And they throw it to the ground and they step on it. Trample it. Because they don't understand the value of what you're saying. I think Jesus is saying here, you know, it doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. But just know that it could happen. Say your piece and leave it. My friend, he said his piece, he left it. It was awkward for a while. Friendship kind of went through a wrinkle. But I'm telling you, his words kept ringing and ringing and ringing. I started evaluating my friendships and began looking back at the patterns of my life. It got into my kitchen. And what it brought out was something beautiful. Sometimes weighing in doesn't make you the hero. There is just everything to lose, it seems. Sometimes you do that, it gets stamped on, but what happens later is up to them. You need to do your part. Let me close by just going back to that story I told you earlier. Kathy feels like she needs to do something to see if this guy is okay. I go play ball hockey. I get a text on my phone when I come out in the car. It says, Jeff, tomorrow morning you're going over and you're mowing his lawn. I'm like, what on earth? And I'm just like, she said, you and Austin, you're going to go over, you're going to water his plants, he's not in a good place, and you got to do this. So instantly, I'm just like, I'm pissed off. I'm like, I thought we agreed you weren't going to. I got her on the phone, and she's like choked up. She's going, this guy's in trouble. Jeff, you won't even recognize him. I'm just like, what? Did he say I could come over and mow his lawn? I'm just like, what? And she is like disturbed. You got to go over there and you got to give him a hand. He's got a couch that's got to come out. He can't lift. He's weak. So we go the next morning. Austin and I go up to his door and we're pulling out the lawnmower and I'm knocking on his door and his window's a little bit cracked open. And I'm knocking and there's no answer. And I'm listening, looking. And he says, hello. I said his name. I said, hey, you there? He said, yeah. I said, it's Jeff. We just wanted to come over, just do a little stuff. I couldn't believe his lawn, though. I mean, this was not, it was so not characteristic. He says, he's out of breath. I'm coming. He says, wait. I'm like, what? He comes to the door. And he unlocks it, and I open it up, and he has to sit down right away. I'm looking at him. I can't even recognize him. And I said, are you okay? He said, I'm not okay. I'm not okay. I said, wait, what do we need to do here, pal? I said, we got to take you to the hospital. He said, yeah, yeah. So we grab this guy. I mean, it was just like, I'm just like, oh. We get him to the hospital. Literally, they wheel him in. He's in intensive care for 3 weeks. Almost dies. They said it was one of the worst cases of pneumonia they'd ever seen. Year later, we're talking about this, and he's like, I am so glad, Jeff, you came over that morning. I'm like, buddy, I would have never come over. I was waiting for the phone to ring, and he's saying, I would never have called. I think there might be a situation or two that is existing within this size of community that right now is begging for you to speak up. That they're never going to ask you, and maybe they don't even realize there's a problem. And right now, all their body language is saying, stay out of my business. But there's something gnawing inside of you. And you've been trying to look away. You've been trying to say, it's not my problem. But down deep, you're going, oh, I am worried that one day something good won't happen. And I'm telling you, would you listen to that voice this week? Would you be aware that there will be times when you just need to say something? Can we be a community that doesn't turn a blind eye? But be very careful in doing so. Weigh it out. Because one day you want to be able to look at the eye, look them or their kids or their parent or whoever it is, and be able to say, this is why I said this that time. This is why. This is my heart in doing that. And I'm sorry, Miss. This was it. And I tell you, if you can stand and be accountable for why you would say it, say it. That's all I'm done. Does this make sense to you? I know that there will be some people and you just, judging comes naturally to you. And you're just licking your lips going, yeah, I got a few lines. I'm going to warn you types. Use more caution. Way more caution. For some of you who are maybe like me, you're the people pleasers. And it is the last thing in your body that you want to speak up. You especially need to hear this today. Because sometimes it's your words that ring louder than anyone's. Because they know you. They know the last thing you want to do is stick your nose in their business. But you see something that maybe they can't see. May we be a community that lives by this law of the universe. Don't judge unless you're willing to one day answer for why you did what you did. Oh, now we're getting somewhere. We will create a world that is beautiful. My prayer for you is this week you'll be bold. You'll think. You'll be wise. You'll discern. And when that moment comes, when you have to speak, let's do it. Have a great week this week, will you? Will you walk with your eyes and your ears wide open? Let's make a difference in our world. Next week, Tom is up. These laws of the universe that we're covering. Like, you guys thought this was good today. I know you did. But it gets better. Let's have a great week.